One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Merkel Media.
Driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show. I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
If you have a crazy and wild story or a conversation you'd like to have with us from your experiences on the road, go ahead and contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or get a hold of us on the webpage. Go to the HammerlaneLegends.com webpage, hit the contact section, and send us an email that way. Either way works for us. We don't care which way you do it. Just get a hold of us. We really want to have a conversation with you. We want to have an opportunity to sit down and hear your stories and hear the things, you know, you're doing and what you've done in the industry. Chip, tell them about the voicemail line.
Voicemail line, 515-585-MERK, 515-585-6375. Short story, 5-10 minutes at the most. Leave a message as far as what you seen on the road, something crazy happened to you, whatever. Anything longer than that, get a hold of Jack.
Yes.
Schedule you to be on the show, and we'll do a whole show dedicated to you.
There you go, boy. A whole show dedicated to you. And that's what we're here for. That's what we love to do. And if you find yourself in need of any kind of preparedness food or, you know, things for, you know, water filtration or air filters or all kinds of stuff, you know, they've got, no matter what it is, if you need it, they have it. You check it out at preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. They've got food that will last on the shelf for 25 years. You hear me say it every week. They got coffee that will stay on the shelf for 30 years. And if you wind up at 25 and or 24 and a half years and you haven't used the stuff and you want to use it, have yourself a party, invite your friends over and have some prepared on the shelf food, you know, might as well use it.
Literally anything will stay on the shelf if you don't move it. Will it be good? That's the question.
It will stay there. This is designed to be good until 25 years. So that's a good deal. Ship, tell them about Buy Me a Coffee.
Oh, Buy Me a Coffee. It keeps us caffeinated. It's a virtual tip jar. If you like this show, feel free to buy a coffee. Virtual tip jar, like I said, you can do what you want. Don't have to do it. Yeah, you know, whatever. Everything's good.
There you go.
But
how do they do that?
I'm just getting there. You go to the website there, buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. And do what you need to do. Follow the simple directions.
Amen. There you go, brother. That's it.
It sounds harder than it is.
It takes us longer to say it than it does to actually do it.
Right.
But anyway, you know, with all those things being said, all that stuff out of the way, today we're talking to Elliot. Elliot, how are you doing?
Good. How y'all doing?
We're doing well. It's good to talk with you. Thanks for coming on.
We're upright and breathing.
As they say, I guess that's a good sign.
Not really.
Well, it depends, you know.
I see the signs of things to come. Not really. Anyway.
Elliot, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about, you know, what you do, how you got into the industry. Tell us a little bit about who you are and things that make you tick.
Well, I started out working at a gas station when I was 14. And I always liked trucks, so I decided I was like, go ahead and get my CDL. And I went there for a construction company. Would come up there all the time, and I just got a job with him, and I've been there since I was pretty much right 19 going on right at 20. I've been there ever since. Started off in a dump truck, and then been driving tractor trailers ever since, really, a year after the dump truck.
Wow. Well, that was an easy resume there. One job.
I know, right? That's fantastic.
Good for you.
Mostly flatbed stuff and dump trailers and mostly flatbed most of the time.
Good.
All right. So how long have you been there then?
You said over 20 years.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Attention.
I was doing other things.
Devoting 100% to Elliot.
Exactly. Well, it is 100% Dalek because I was looking at his text.
Oh, okay.
The information that Jack sent me, I was reading through that as
you're doing refresher. Show prep while the show is being prepped. Anyway, back to Elliot. Sorry about that.
Yeah, well, I've been there for about 8 years. I'm only 28. So since I was 20.
All right. I read that wrong. I thought he's there 28 years. I'm like, he sounds pretty good for 28 years.
Well, don't smoke.
Well, that's it. That's it. Virginia. Yeah,
exactly. That's fantastic. Wow.
Well, yes. Anyway,
no, that's that's actually really kind of cool because that's not something that you see a lot. Right. In the industry is, you know, somebody gets into a job, they train in a job and they, you know, get trained by the job and then they stay there. I mean, that's really kind of cool. That's awesome. Good for you, man. I think that works out well.
When I started, there really wasn't no per se training. There was a guy from the shop that didn't even have a CDL license. Just rode around me for like 2 or 3 weeks. You know, I just go here. Okay. All right. Figure it out.
That's awesome. You love that kind of training, huh?
Right.
That answers all the questions.
Hey, it's a young kid. He could probably pass the test. Let's get this guy on.
And he doesn't smoke. He'll be good for the physical. He's good to go. You know, it's
pretty much.
Yeah.
Lower health premium.
94 Mack dump truck wasn't too far.
No, I can imagine not. Wow.
No radio.
That always makes it interesting, doesn't it?
These people. Oh, yeah. Radios aren't that important.
Yeah, they are. Just because you don't listen to a radio ship, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you stay away. I don't know how you do it. I listen to the podcast. I listen to different podcasts. I listen to music. And, you know, I don't know how you don't listen to something.
I listen to the voices in my head.
Well, anyway, back to Elliot. So when you first learn how to drive, when you're first getting this down, you're first getting this all in your, you know, how do you go about this and all that? How long did it take you to kind of begin to figure these things out? The shifting and all of those things, and you know, did you find that a hard transition to make as a young person?
No, not really. I mean, I've been around tractors, like regular tractors, in my life. You know, and they kind of shift like a truck, you know, okay. except there's two sticks. And, you know, so I started, you know, messing with that when I was young. I mean, I started working on vehicles when I was like 10, 11, 12 years old, somewhere in there. Yeah, you know, change oil and, you know, start at the bottom and then work my way up. So right. having a mechanical understanding of how things work kind of helped me out. So Got once you. I figured out the shift pattern after the first day, I wasn't too bad, you know. I knew what to do, but, you know, I went to go put it in reverse after coming from the high side, going back to seventh gear on the 10 speed, right. instead of putting it where seventh gear should be. I was trying to put it in reverse. Because I'm used to, you know, regular old five speed, you know.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it you know, that's the learning curve in the industry. You know, it's one of those things. Of course, nowadays, you know, how many guys are actually shifting gears anymore? You know, anybody's getting anything new, or new guys coming into the industry as new drivers, you know, men and women. It's you know, a lot of automatics and stuff like that. So
I would love to screw with somebody and actually put, it's a brand new truck, and put three sticks right out of the floor.
Figure this out. Their face when they climb it and they're like, I can't drive this. My license says automatic only.
It is automatic.
Right now I'm in a 2020 Kenworth T880, but it's automatic, but I really don't like how the Kenworth automatics work, because, you know, you're trying to back up a trailer, it wants to floorboard it, you know, you barely even touch the gas, it wants to fly in reverse.
Oh, wow.
And you know, when you go into, you know, hook up the, you know, not slam the trailer against the kingpin, it, you know, sometimes I do it great, other times it slams. But, you know, I'm waiting for a Volvo, just got a little minor problems. It's a 2016, it's a little bit older, but, you know, I drove the Volvo for probably about 6 years, and I got out of a 2013 because one guy quit. So I got this truck just to try it out, but I don't care for it. I'd rather have a stick shift, but I've driven, you know, 8 speeds, 10 speeds, 13 and 18. I've driven them all. I mean, I mm-hmm. prefer the 13s because they're just easier to drive, in my opinion.
Right. Right. That's an interesting, for such a, you know, a young guy in the industry. I mean, that's a lot of experience,
yeah.
you know, getting all,
he's the, got,
you know,
a lot of stick and seats time.
He's got
right
a lot
away.
Of stick time. Yeah. yeah. And if you're using two sticks, it's a lot more stick time.
Right.
Go ahead, Elliot.
Yeah. I mean, right now, just in the Kenworth for now until the Volvo is done, but I'll be glad when the Volvo is done. So I ain't got to slam, you know, cause it goes, when it starts to move, it'll like dump the clutch sometimes. And if you're in a tight spot, you know,
right.
does it dump the clutch into a pole? You know, I don't want to do it. It makes you look like a rookie driver, like you never drove nothing. And the truck's doing it. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's one of the things that I miss about, you know, having a stick, is that, you know, you actually have a lot more control, a lot more, you know, your ability to feather the clutch and do what you need to do. You know, it's not like, it happens, you know, doing it what we do, you know, you go to hook up to a trailer and you kind of get, you know, your fifth wheel to the edge of the trailer, and then if it's a real heavy load, then you're pushing, you know, you're trying to get more fuel, but you don't want to go too hard because you only got to go, you know,
right.
to the kingpin. It's
you don't
not
want
like you're
whiplash.
Trying to drive. Yeah, you're not trying to drive to the back of the friggin' trailer, and you know, yeah. so you're trying to make that edgy call, you know, hit the fuel and then hit the brake right away. You know, you're trying to, so you don't just whack, and like you said, like Ship said, you know, whacking your freaking, giving yourself whiplash doing that. But it's one of those frustrating things that, you know, you deal with in the industry, especially with all this new fangled stuff that we got called automatics and everything else. So, you know, that's the frustration of it. But anyway, I digress. Those are my problems.
Yeah, and all my regular vehicles, even my cars, they're all six shift. I don't have an automatic.
There you go. That's a man after my own heart. The car I drive is a stick shift. My wife's car, I tried teaching her, you know, to drive stick years ago, and I was like, nah, we're just done. You know, I wanted to keep my marriage. It was either keep my marriage and, or teach her how to drive stick, one of the two. And so I was like, oh, I'll just opt for, you know, we'll stay married. I kind of like it. So I figured that was easier, you know.
Yep. And most of my stuff's all in, like, construction sites. We do a lot of work for the power company.
Okay.
You know, we put, like, I don't know if you've ever seen in Pennsylvania with, like, wooden mats going up a power line.
Oh, okay.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's mostly what I haul, is the wooden mats and, you know, maybe some pipe and stuff like that. But 90% wooden mats or a dump trailer. But, you know, so most time it's off road anyway. So if it wants to dump the clutch and spin the wheels and it gets stuck, oh well.
Right.
So much for that. Yeah. You know, it is what it is. That's the beauty of it, you know. But yeah, so when you're hauling, like, you know, when you're hauling like, you know, a dump trailer or whatever, I don't even know how to, you know, what all is involved in that with, like, now do you load the, are you the one driving the dump onto your flatbed or does somebody else do that and you just strap everything down or chain everything down? How does it all work for you guys?
Flatbed, most time, I mean, one of our guys will load it for me, you know, they'll put the load on the trailer and I strap it down, you know, which I prefer because I like getting out a little bit and doing some stuff. But, you know, every now and then I'll have to use a loader to unload the trailer, but not unless nobody's around. You know, if somebody ain't around and I got to get up early the next morning and then go, I'll go ahead and jump on the loader, unload it. But that ain't, you know, what I usually do. But a dump trailer, I don't load any of them. They'll load it for me and I'll haul it and operate the dump trailer. You got a hydraulic line that goes to the truck. You got to hook that up. You got electric line for the tarp.
Right.
And then you got your two air lines for the trailer, like on a normal trailer. Then it's got drop axles on the trailer, but you got to get out of the truck. On my truck, you got to get out of the truck to operate them. So get the load on, and you put these other drop axles down to help carry out the weight, spread out the weight, and it gives you more braking power. And when you dump a load off or something like that, you back it up wherever it's got to go, and then you got to drop the trailer suspension and lift the axles up and open the tailgate and dump it off.
Gotcha.
The trailer I use is called a frame dump trailer, so it ain't as dangerous as a frameless. A frameless, it backs up and pivots on the back tires, and it's more likely to tip over.
And that's what I was just going to ask you. Now, if you spend any time looking at YouTube videos of, you know, trucks and, you know, dumping trailers and dump trailers and all that stuff, you inevitably are going to run into those that were the whole thing falls over,
right.
You know? And I was curious about how often does it is, I mean, cause if you watch YouTube videos, it looks like it happens all the time, you know, but apparently it doesn't. And so I wanted to ask you about that. I'm kind of curious about that. You know, what is, you know, how secure, I guess, I don't know, for a different, you know, better way of saying it. We'll just say it that way.
Well, that's the problem. That, you know, the load's too secure. You know, like if it's frozen and stuck and he's going up, that's when you run the risk of tipping, if I'm correct.
Yeah, well, buddy of mine drives for Payne. I don't know if you've seen some Payne transportation trucks up there in Pennsylvania, but he drives a frameless dump trailer.
Okay.
And if the load isn't centered in a frameless, then it could flip over because it's not centered right. You know, if it's off to one side, you know, when it's going up, all that's holding it, you know, is a brace that goes up with the trailer and the hydraulic ram that pushes the trailer up. So if it's off to one side or something and it starts going up and then it twists just a little bit, you know, the trailer could come over.
Yeah. Cause that's an aspect of the truck industry that I've never done. I've never, you know, done a dump trailer, never done dump truck, you know, just never got into that aspect of things. And that's what I was kind of curious about. It's one of those things that you see a lot, you know, like I said, YouTube videos and all that. And you just kind of wonder about it. You know, you're like, I've seen, you know, coming down the turnpike, coming out of, you know, Somerset, coming off the mountain there and somebody had forgot his the dump part was up and he hit the bridge at the bottom and it just took the, you know, tore the dump right off. And, you off on the wide spot, there's the truck sitting there and
there's the cabin chassis. Now.
The cabin chassis is there without the, and the dump part was still right. You know, it was still hanging from the bridge. It was like, it was just long enough to go from, you know, the bottom of the bridge to the highway. And it just sat there. And I was like, that's crazy, dude. I've never seen anything like that. And that's another thing that you see that too on YouTube videos where it's like the guy doesn't realize his dump is up. He doesn't realize the dump part is up.
Well, that's
and he's whacking a sign or a bridge. And how prevalent is that? I mean, how do you not know? I guess that's the question I have in my own head is how do you not know?
Well, the only way I can think of how that happens is if you don't cut the PTO off, or the PTO, you know, drives off the transmission
right,
and it runs a pump.
Okay.
And there's only like two ways it could really happen. You know, either they leave the PTO on and leave the handle in the up position, or something breaks mechanically and the handle should be in the down position while you're going down the road anyway.
Right.
Or really it should be in the neutral position, you know, but if you left the sight somewhere, it should be in the down position if you forgot to put it neutral. So if something breaks and it starts coming in a different way and pumps the bed up in the air, but that's the only way I can see it happening. But okay, if you cut your PTO off and you put the stick in neutral for the bed,
mm-hmm,
it shouldn't go nowhere.
Yeah, right.
It means, I don't see how it could go anywhere.
Yeah, you have it totally disengaged.
And plus, so, you know, there should be an idiot light lighting up on the dash saying PTO or the switch light lighting up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean,
some trucks have them, some trucks don't.
Okay. Yeah, because when I did, you know, dry bulk tankers, you know, you had, you know, the PTO light on the inside, and you could just, and that's why it's like one of those things where it's like, well, how does this happen? How does that type of thing? I mean, it makes great, you know, YouTube videos. I mean, you know, it just does. Well, but
even,
you know,
even our trucks, the Anthems,
yeah,
where you go to start it,
yeah,
you know, that light, there is a PTO light
yeah,
but we don't, you know, we don't have any application for that, but,
right?
You know, they do, like, you know, they come equipped from the factory like that, just like the check engine light always being on.
I've had trucks that it, you know, has the light on there, uh-huh, but you know, it all depends on, you know, who puts the PTO together. Is it from, does it come out of Kenworth like that, or whatever the truck factory is?
Gotcha. It comes out of the body manufacturer there, you know, whatever dump body you got on it. Yeah.
Because I mean, I've had them, it lights up when you start it up, but you flip a switch all day long and they're like, come on. But what's good about the Volvo trucks I drive, you know, if the PTO's on, it won't let it go past second gear.
Okay.
You know, in regular drive mode, unless you're in manual mode, you know, it won't let it go past second. So you can put it to the floor all day long, PTO on, it ain't going anywhere.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Which is good for the Volvos.
Yeah, that's a good fail safe.
Yeah.
You know, that's actually interesting. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I'm glad I started driving the track trailer most of the time, even with the dump trailer. A dump truck ride really rough. I mean, they'll beat you to death, and going down back roads with potholes on them and stuff like that. I drove one this past year because there wasn't a lot of track trailer work going on at the time. I drove one for almost a year straight out of the track to trailer.
Uh-huh.
And I'm only 28, and I get out of the truck just completely beat at the end of the day.
Took 3 years off his life.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and I get out, I'm just dragging in the house, you know. I don't want to cook dinner, but I have to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's one of those jobs that I think is got to be, yeah, it's just merciless. It's a merciless job, you know, because when you're busy, you're busy. You know, it's not like you can just, again, it's not a 9 to 5, or you're not coming in and right, you're just going to go home at 8. You know, it's not.
That's why at 3:30 in the morning, you see them triaxles doing 90 mile an hour. They just want to get over them bumps as quick as possible.
My days vary by time. You know, sometimes I can start my day at 6:30 and get off at 5:30 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but some days I'm going to have to come in at, you know, 4 o'clock and leave and go ahead and run 2 loads if it's somewhere that has because I got to meet time frames on everything. I got a time frame for the people that leave the job. I got a time frame for wherever I'm getting the material at. You know, they close at this time, they leave at this time. So, yeah, I can get it done, but I got to leave at 4 o'clock in the morning to get it done, 2 loads. Right.
Yeah. Right. Holy cow. Yeah.
Stuff like that. Which is fine. I prefer, you know, when I can do that because I get off earlier most of the time. You know, I might work 4 to 4. That's 12 hours. Good to go.
Right.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I guess, you know, 12-hour day is kind of average in this industry. You know, it seems like you're going to work it one way or the other, you know. And I'm with you. I'd rather, you know, get done earlier, you know. If I was running daytime, that you know, I'd rather get started earlier and get done earlier than to be in rush hour traffic in the morning and rush hour traffic in the afternoon, you know. It's just, I don't know. It's just me. I'm that kind of guy.
Yeah, most of the time I don't have to deal with too much city, unless I got, you know, Virginia Beach is kind of city, but when I got to go to Northern Virginia, you know, anywhere up there, I call it the cesspool because I can't go nowhere. I'm just stuck everywhere I go. I can't stand it.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially when you're, you know, it's, you know, like you said, it When I say time sensitive, I don't mean like, oh, it's got to, but you have a deliver, you have, you know, you got to get loaded, you got to get delivered. And if you got to do two, you know, it is time sensitive. You know, you only got so many hours in a day you can work. There's only so many hours a day you can drive. And that's just the way it is. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So when you run into any kind of backlog of traffic or anything like that, that just sucks. It just, you know, that's why I run at night. I just, you know, I'm a people person like Shipper. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're people persons.
Yeah. Well, the asphalt plants and construction sites aren't always like open at night.
Yeah. That's like my buddy. I'll talk to him on the phone sometimes. He's like, it's two people-y outside. I need to go back in.
two people-y. I like that.
Yeah. Two people-y outside.
Yes, sir. I know how he feels.
I go out 78. What, did everybody wave the green flag in Jersey to come over?
That's what it seems like sometimes, you know. It's that's, you know, it's one of the things I've said so many times is, you know, people don't realize how much even just 15 minutes can make at, you know, before rush hour in the morning or before rush hour in the afternoon, just that 15 minute window. If they don't keep you moving and you're sitting somewhere for an extra 15 minutes or 20 minutes, all of a sudden you can go from actually having been ahead of the traffic to now you're engulfed in traffic.
And at that point, you just might as well call and see if you can save 15%
or more.
Yes.
Yeah. Cause I left our shop before, which is, you know, roughly 2 hours, two and a half hours from Northern Virginia, up there, like Falls Church area. And, I was like, all right, I'll leave it at 4. I'll make it there by hopefully 8 o'clock. Nope, 10.
Wow.
I said, it don't matter what time. If I head up 95 north, I'm sitting in traffic.
You know? Yeah.
And my buddy of mine, I don't know how he does it, but he can go up there and leave the shop at 2 o'clock and make it up there by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, yeah, because that's just your luck. I said, I leave, I'm going to hit the traffic no matter what time I leave.
It's like they're waiting for you to leave.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
They just close it out.
Yep.
You just haven't been driving long enough to get that staff to part the traffic.
All right, Moses.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Get the plow truck, you know.
Yes, sir. Put the blade down and go.
Yeah.
Oh, friggin' hey, that's great. That is great.
Yeah. But I got one story. I was only had 2 months experience with this happen. You know, didn't have hardly any. I'm this first out of town job I actually work. So I'm going to Virginia Beach. I drive into Old Mac for like 2 days. I get loaded at the quarry. As soon as I get on the ramp, break a rear leaf spring. The whole back end of the truck squatted down and everything. So I thought it was tire at first. So I got out, checked. I was like, nope, that ain't tire. That's leaf spring. So, you know, that's one day, one truck broke.
Yep.
And then, so I go to the shop, pick up this International we had. And it just had gotten brakes put on it. I'm like, cool. Everything's good to go. It, you know, the mechanic did all the brakes and stuff. And then I get down there to Virginia Beach and we're getting loaded from this job site. And, you know, he's probably putting too much dirt on me, but I'm looking at the brakes because the brakes are smoking. I'm like, they just put brakes on it. So I call a mechanic up and mechanic's like, well, maybe it's too tight, you know, so back them off a little bit. So I backed them off a little bit. And they're still smoking. And I called him again. I said, it's still smoking. I said, I done backed them off like, well, at least one and a half, two turns.
Mm-hmm.
He said, all right. He said, do you see any oil coming out anywhere? I'm like, no, I don't see no oil coming nowhere. Well, I'm heading to Pungo. And this actually, Virginia Beach is mostly city, but Pungo is kind of like a back road country spot of Virginia Beach, heads toward North Carolina. And, so I take off from this red light and it's got some curves, you know, and I'm in like eighth gear or whatever. And I got some curves. So I got to let on and off the fuel a couple times. I hit the fuel again and it acts like it ain't in gear. I look down and it's in gear. I look in the mirror and the whole axle shaft is coming out of the rear end. And I managed to get it pulled over. There's only one spot on this whole road to pull over in 20 miles. Thank God I was right there when it happened.
Amen,
and
brother.
We had to shovel that whole dump truck off into two other smaller dump trucks.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Wow.
So that was two trucks broke in 1 week. And I managed to get them off the road, thank God.
Wow. Now, when the leaf spring went, did you literally drive it back to the shop, or did you just pull it over to need to find a wide spot on the road, pull over and?
No, I was still on the ramp when it broke, giving okay. the gas, and you know, it went boom. I was like, okay, tire blew out. Get out, check. Nah, leaf spring. So the wrecker came, and he blocked up the suspension with wooden blocks uh-huh. and like a strap or something. So I just went on back down the ramp, went back to the quarry, dumped the load off, and he put it on the wrecker and took it back to our shop.
Wow.
And, you know, they put new leaf springs on.
Yeah.
But that was an ordeal.
That's a lot of extra work.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things, you know, when those things happen, it is even just, we lose a tire doing what we do. You know, you just blow a tire or whatever, and you are sitting on you're going to sit on the side of the road for, an hour and a half before somebody even shows up. You know, it's just one of those things that a road call is, it's just a time suck. It's just a time suck. And for them to drive two smaller dump trucks out for you for the other one, when you lose an axle shaft, you're like, and then you got to spend all that time hand unloading that. My hat's fun. Off to you, 20 man.
20-some tons.
One with shovel me, at a time.
Me and five guys, I just shoveled the whole truck out.
Wow.
It took about an hour and a half of just constant shoveling.
Wow.
That was not fun.
No, sir.
I almost quit that time.
I was going to say, thank God he was young. I don't see no older gentleman doing that. We're dumping it right here.
Wow.
And the only reason why I didn't leave at that time, I'd met a girl at the time I was talking to, just met her. So I didn't want to go over the road and be gone, even though I could. But, so I was like, I guess I'll stay. But so I ended up staying there. So I've been there ever since.
Yes. Sir. Extenuating circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get that. Wow.
It was fun.
Well, the next question, still with that same girl?
No, I've been married for, it'll be 5 years in May to a different girl. She's been with me for pretty much 6 years. So.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Been married for five.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Good. Good. Good for you. That's awesome.
Yep. So that was one story. And the other one, I was heading back from like Warrenton, Virginia. And there was a DOT cop county uh-huh. in front of me, but he was pulling out of a road. I was like, all right, whatever. Cool. So he's in front of me. All right. There's a dump truck speeding, doing 45 and a 35. I was like, oh. He turned his lights on behind the dump truck. All right, going to pull him over for speeding or whatever. So, I get in the left lane to pass him. So, get in the left lane, and he points his finger out the window, points to me. He tells me to pull over when he's already in front of me. So, I pull over into this, it's like a fueling spot, but it's inside of a quarry. So, I pull in there, and I'm, waiting. So, he talks to the dump truck. Lets the dump truck go and then does an inspection of my truck. And I got two brakes out of adjustment on the truck, which puts me out of service.
Right.
So I had to get the mechanic come up there, adjust my brakes, but I also got a bus that I made into an RV, and I was getting insurance on that. And, they want to make my insurance go way up just because of that, pretty much improper equipment, even though it's the company's vehicle. Now the company's, ever since then, I'm very particular. I want to drive. If it ain't 100% right, I ain't driving. Because my insurance ain't going up because your stuff's messed up.
Yes, sir. That will change.
Oh, that went right down on to your driver's license for your own personal insurance. Wow.
Yeah,
that's.
I said it's not a move. I had to explain to him. I finally got it, taken off about 2 months later because I sent him, records and all kinds of stuff. I like. It's a company vehicle. It's not me. I had no way of checking. I can't measure the brakes. You got to have two people to do that. Mm-hmm. And, everything else on the truck was good, but two brakes were out of adjustment. So, I explained to him that, it's improper equipment. It's just like, hey, you're going down a road and a light bulb blows out.
Right.
Ain't much difference. You don't know until the next day or whatever it gets noticed.
Yep, exactly. Till the next guy hooks up or does whatever. Yeah. In this industry, how many guys do a proper post trip? Let me just put it that way. You know, how many times
I would
you
say
up?
Every one of us.
Everyone. Exactly. You know, how many times do you, you know, you go, to, you hook up to a trailer and it's got a flat, or you hook up to a trailer and there's lights out and you're, you know,
or you hook up to a trailer and it's got one wheel missing.
Or it's got a wheel missing. I have not had that experience yet, Shipper, but you know, these things do happen.
It's happened.
But yeah, that just sucks that it would wind up on your license. I mean, I don't, you know, on your personal license.
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah, so it's on my license, you know, it says, mm-hmm. you know, because the company paid for the ticket.
Right.
I didn't go to court. Now, so now if I get any tickets, I'm just going to go to court anyway, just because. So my buddy said 9 times out of 10, you know, you come in there saying if it's something broke and it got fixed, you know, they'll just take it off. Okay, it's good to go.
Right.
Right.
But so, you know, company paid ticket. So it says on my license, you know, improper equipment, no points on my license. And, but it says convicted. The insurance company says, since it says convicted, you know, that's why it was up. But after sending them copies of my driving record and a whole bunch of stuff, they finally took the price increase back off.
Wow.
Which, thank God.
Yeah.
I mean, it was quite a bit of, I mean, went from like $400 a year for my bus to $800 a year for my bus, and I don't even drive it. But like maybe 200-300 miles a year just sitting right. there.
Wow. That's a freaking, yeah. That's a huge increase. I mean, that just doubled. Wow.
Yeah. Just for improper equipment.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't speed. I don't have no tickets or nothing like that. I set it on whatever speed limit is, and everybody and their brother passed me on the road.
Yes, sir. That's the way to do it. That's how I drive. When I'm in my own personal vehicle, you know, when I'm driving the big truck, you know, it's, I am a right laner, and when I'm in my car driving home from work, I'm a right laner, and I'm doing the speed limit, and I don't care if it's, you know, 7:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning, and everybody and their brothers out on the road going to work and trying to, you know, tooting their horns, running up on my, I'm taking my time.
Brian's, you should have left earlier.
That's right. It's exactly right. It's like, yeah, well.
Yeah, no, yeah. I stay in the right lane too, because I mean, if something happens, 9 times out of 10, you got the bail lane. I call it to the right.
Yep.
You know, if something happens, you can bail.
Yes,
if you're
sir.
In that middle lane, you ain't got nowhere to bail necessarily. I mean, you could, but you might take out a car if you don't look. And what happens if something's in front of you and you got a car beside you on both sides and either rear end somebody or take a car out? I'd rather just stay in the right lane. I'll slow down a little bit for people getting on the interstate. Most times I do 2 under, whatever. If it's 70, I do 68 and I stay in the right lane. 9 times out of 10, all of them go on up the road. Every now and then you got an idiot that'll pull out in front of you, just creeping along. You got to pass them, but you know, it is what it is.
Yep. Yep. Boy, do I hear that? Do I hear that? Now do any of your trucks have any of the modern collision avoidance stuff, the lane departure stuff or anything like that?
Even our new trucks, they don't get that because they don't want to annoy us.
Yeah.
All we have is we got a forward facing camera. If you go over 70 mile an hour, it'll go off. But, okay. You know, and some of our trucks are governed. Some of them ain't. But, you know, most of the time, you know, if you got to hit the gas for a split second to get around something, that's, you know, fine.
Right.
Get around if you got to hit 80 for a second. But I'd rather have it and not need it. Most of the time, I don't need it than to not have it at all. And, you know, I can't. Hey, it's topped out. 70. That's it. Not going no fast.
Yeah. Ours top out at 67. And yes,
yeah.
it would be nice to have that little extra every now and then, you know, just to get around somebody who's just happened to be doing, you know, that half a mile an hour slower than you are. And you're, you know, we have the collision avoidance thing. So you're constantly backing out of it because it's going off, you know, so, I get the point, you know, I understand that's what they're for, you know, but at the same time, it's like, it's so frustrating because you can't get out in the left-hand lane to go around them because at a half a mile an hour faster than what they're doing, it's going to take you, you know, 30 miles down the road to finally get around them. And by that point, you're at your next stop anyway, you're at your turbo. So it's like, what was the point? You know?
So made it. Yeah. I got around them.
Meanwhile, you've got a line of traffic 100 miles long behind you.
Right.
And they're all giving you the finger. Yes.
Yes, sir. Yeah. You're number one.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I talk about my buddy on the phone, and, you know, I'll be talking to him. The next thing I hear, like, can you just back off a little bit? Oh, they just cut me off. I was like, oh, So I hear bling when I talk. I was like, man, I said, what are you playing? Pinball machine?
That's what it sounds like. And I, again, I understand it. It's just you talk about distractions when you're driving. I mean, it can get distracting. It can just get, you know, nerve wracking. So you're always backing out of it or whatever. And that's what you got to do. You know, you just deal with it. But, you know, it's not my, it doesn't have my name on the side. It has somebody else's. So I say, okay, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And one time we were going to, kind of a different time, but I was going to, we have a sand pit that's our own company sand pit, but we don't use it that much anymore. But there used to be a road going in there. It was, you know, just a little backwood in the woods road. And it was rain one day, and I'm coming up through there like 20 mile an hour. It's, you know, smooth, but it's like very slick mud. Mm-hmm. So I'm coming up there and I hit the brake while turning the wheel. So the truck's going straight, but, you know,
right,
doing stuff crazy. Since I was 14, I used to do that stuff on purpose in this old postal Jeep I have, just having fun. Hit the brake while going straight, turn the wheel, and it just keeps going straight. So I knew to let off the brake, you know, to get it to come back over. So I went straight for a second, and then it caught, and it came back over. So I didn't turn no truck over or nothing. Everything was good. But I was like, whoa, you know, slow down there.
Yeah. And, you know, years ago when I was driving for another company. I mean, this is a long time ago now. They used to haul garbage into the one landfill out here in PA and what the heck was it? Pine Grove, out by Pine Grove, PA. And, you know, you'd get in there and I just had a regular tractor trailer. There was no anything special. It was not, you know, it was just a regular truck. And he didn't even have the walking floor trailers or anything like that. They ran a cable on the inside of the freaking trailer, loaded these huge bales of garbage in there. And then you took it to the landfill and they hooked it up to their, you know, their bulldozer pulled the thing in. And of course, you know, sometimes that cable stayed and pulled the stuff out. And sometimes it came out without the stuff and right. You're climbing back up in there on top of all this garbage to rewrap that freaking cable around that. That happened to me a couple of times, but going in and out of that freaking dump, with just a regular, you know, with a regular tractor, it was like, are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. I mean, this thing isn't made for this. I mean, what the heck are you doing to me? You're killing me. It's like, yeah, if it's a little bit, you know, like you're talking, if it's a little bit wet, you're sliding, you know, and you're climbing up this hill to get over top, to get into the you know, the landfill part itself. And you're just like, I just hope to God I get through this day, you know, I don't want to have to do anything stupid, you know, And you hope and pray that you get through it because you're sliding. You can feel it. You can feel your tractor sliding. And it was just, you know, so I can appreciate, you know, what you're talking about, you know, being on mud and turning the wheel and you're still going straight and you're like, this isn't right. Yeah. Yeah. It is what it is.
One of these things just does not belong.
Yes, exactly. Me here in this landfill. This is what doesn't belong.
Yeah. Speaking of like sliding like that, I do like snow plow and stuff in the wintertime too. We don't have a lot here, but you know, I was doing this road one day and it's a two lane between Williamsburg and like James City County. I mean like Henrico County. So pretty much Richmond to Williamsburg. And it has a few bridges on it, you know, and the road's fine, you know, going along. They say, all right, go check the road condition, see what it's like, you know, so if it needs salt or sand, put whatever you need on it. So at that time, it wasn't that cold, so, you know, we're just running sand. So I'm sanding, you know, most parts of the road if they need them. But I get to this bridge, and, you know, I'm doing 35. Speed limit on the road is 45, I mean 55, but it's snowing, you know, a little bit, so mm-hmm. I'm just going slow. And I hit the bridge doing 35, and, you know, I go across the bridge. And then, but when I get to the other side, I feel like the truck like jerks, like just like a weird jerking motion. I was like, oh, that didn't feel right. So I got to the next bridge. I was like, I'm going to slow down real slow on this one just to see what it feels. And as soon as I just creeping along, inching along, as soon as the front tires hit the bridge, as the bridge is on a little bit of an angle, the truck just slid toward whatever the angle was.
Wow.
You know, so I was like, well, you know, I know I got cars. It's a nighttime. I usually do it at night because there's not much traffic.
Right.
So I got to, you know, go up the road, turn the truck around, back the salt spreader across the bridge with the sand, you know, put a whole bunch of sand on it, then back and pull across the same side, then back across again, and then put more sand and do that on all these bridges. And, you know, the one that was in the curve was the worst because that's the biggest and longest bridge. That's the one I hit doing 35 the first time.
Right.
So I knew what to expect when I got to it. So I turned the truck around and here comes a car. You know, I said, look, man, you just got to stop for a minute. Let me get this sand on this bridge because if you go across it, you're gonna be hitting the guardrail or something because I slipped when I came across it. So I'm going to go ahead and put the sand on it. And then you can go across it, go on your way. And also, they talk about the black dog or whatever.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, one time, this was probably the second year of snow plowing because we haven't always done it, but probably the past 4 years. I think the second year we had a massive, like it was that light, fluffy snow that's real dry, but it, you know, it just goes everywhere. It just blows.
Yep.
Yeah. So everybody else, you know, they're like, what's the bother? You know, it's I'm not doing no good anyway plowing, so I'm just going to sit. So they're sitting, but my wife had to go to work. At that time, she didn't have a license. But my dad was taking her to work, so I go up too close to my driveway because it's in the same county, and I plow the path for them to get her out to go to work because she works at Love's at the time.
Okay.
And, you know, so I plow the path for them to get out. And then when I get back, I'm like, all right, well, I'll just head on back, you know. And, of course, I'm exhausted. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just see, like, a black dog walk from one side of the road to the other side of the road, and I'm just like, you know, I didn't know where I was at on the road.
Right.
I was completely on the opposite side of the road, about to go in the ditch. So I got it back over, and then I was like, all right, I'm taking me a 30-minute rest break. So
yes, sir.
I pulled over somewhere and just took a nap for 30 minutes and made it through the rest of the night.
Wow. That it is one thing I've heard about. I've, you know, talked to drivers who have seen it, and I've never seen it. Have you ever seen it, Chip?
No.
No? It's one of those things that you know is out there. You know that, I mean, people see it. There's these stories.
I go to work, I'm already well rested.
Is that what it is?
I'm well rested, ready to go.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. Ready to go. I'm sure.
The only reason why I wasn't too well rested because, you know, I can't really sleep during the day all day. So I'm getting up at like, you know, 2-3 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not 2-3, like maybe 11 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd stay up all day. Then I go play out from 12 to 12.
Right. Wow. Bless you. Yeah. Holy cow. Yeah. That, it's one thing I've just gotten so used to over the years is, you know, doing line haul at night. For the past 22 years, I'm used to sleeping during the day. You know, it's like I could take a nap every Sunday afternoon. You know what I mean? I ain't working, but I could sit down after, you know, and I could take a nap. It's just the way it is. But, you know, like I know we have some drivers, you know, at Pitt, like they'll sleep a couple hours in the morning, get up in the afternoon, then go back to bed at, you know, in the afternoon. Until they, you know, they get their phone call in the evening or whatever, and they find out what time they're working. And I just, if I wake up during the day, if I wake up at like I sleep for a couple of hours and then get up, I'm not going back to sleep. I can't turn my brain off. I don't know. I tried it when I first started doing this, and I cannot freaking turn my brain off. So my own personal schedule is I stay up till 11 o'clock in the morning, and then I go to bed and I get up at you know 6 o'clock at night. I get a good 7 hours of sleep, and I feel pretty good. If I try and break it, I know I was talking to one of our, you know, he was like, yeah, you know, I get up in the afternoon. I was like, I don't know how you do it because I can't lay down and re-engage sleep at that point.
Right.
I don't know. I guess it's just me. But I have never seen the black dog thing. And when I saw that on the show notes, I was like, that's actually really interesting. I mean, when you see that, what do you just see a big black dog go across the road in front of you, or do you get any? Is there any detail to it, or anything like that? Or
I don't know. What I saw, I mean, it might be different every one you see, you mm-hmm. know. But for me, you know, I didn't know it was a dog at first or not, but you know, that's what it looked like.
Sure,
it looked like, you know, kind of like a blurry black dog. It wasn't like full blood. You know, you see it. It was like kind of like a faded picture.
Sure.
But it went from the left side of the road to the right side of the road, and the left side of the road was where the ditch was that I was heading to. course, I couldn't, you know, the snow coming at me and the lights from the truck.
Yeah.
And then, you know, snow on the road. I didn't know where this was.
Yeah.
You know, but then I realized, oh, you know, dog, when I saw the dog in my eyes, you know, who knows if it was actually there or not, but that's what I saw. You know, so the left side of the road to the right side of the road. And shortly after that, I realized, hey, the ditch is over here. I should be over here.
Yeah, as far away as I can be.
I'm going to get to the store up here, and I'm going to shut her down for a little bit.
Yeah.
Imagine the guy following you. Oh, look, the guy with the dump truck was plowing. He plowed me right into a ditch.
Luckily, you know, another reason why I did it at night, because, you know, not many people on the roof. You get people here that, as soon as it starts snowing, oh, let's go do donuts. Let's you know, and stuff like that. So I try to do it at nighttime, because usually, you know, sometimes I might just be on standby all night long. I won't do nothing. I'll just sit there.
Wow. Oh, that's kind of like PennDOT. If you can find them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any dot.
Any dot. Yep. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a brotherhood.
Yeah, well, they're union.
But yeah, it's one of those
things. Them and Dunkin' Donuts.
You know, that's one of those weird things when you're driving in the snow. And I've noticed this, and I'm sure everybody has, you know, when you're driving down the road and the snow is coming at you, and your lights reflecting off the snow, and the snow is hitting your windshield. It's like it's hypnotizing.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh yeah.
And it's just
disorienting.
It is. It really is. And you're like, I don't, you know, you're just waiting and hoping that this will end, and you'll run out of the snow, because it just, after a while, your eyes just start to go crazy. I don't know any other way to say it. It's just very hypnotizing.
It's a big snow globe.
That's what it feels like. Like somebody just shook it. And you're trying to drive through it.
That's it.
Plowing the powder snow is what I call it. It, you know, it just blows.
Yeah.
Plowing that, you know, all that snow is blowing off that plow right into the windshield. You know?
Oh,
right.
My word, yeah.
So then, you know, after a while of doing that, you got to get out of the truck and start scooping it up, you know, off, you know, you got to put your windshield wipers up and scoop it out of there, because it'll just keep packing it down into like the cowling.
Oh, yeah.
And next thing you know, your windshield wipers, you know, are 6-7 inches higher than when you started, because the snow's down in there.
Yes.
Yeah. You can't put enough heat on it to melt it off, you know, with that much snow coming at it.
No, I can't imagine.
Every now and then you got to get out there and dig it out.
Yeah.
Or you can. It's called a little flamethrower in an LP tank.
The windshield shatters it.
Yeah, exactly. Melting glass.
I mean, the wind. You don't need a windshield. Just do the windshield delete kit.
Yes. This one folds out.
Oh yeah, friggin' hey, that's funny. like an old Willie's Jeep, you know, just falls down. Yep.
Float around, put the goggles on. Yes, we're good to go.
We're good.
When I first started doing the dump trailers, we had that same sand pit I was in before.
Mm-hmm.
We had a road that kind of went down into it the short way, which was, you know, relatively, it was narrow, but, you know, it looked like it was wide enough for the truck and the trailer. A little bit steeper. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go down that way. You know, I'm not going the long way because, hey, you know, whatever. So I go down in there. And of course, thank God I was empty. I go down in there. I make it in there, but one of the duals was hanging off the side of the road. So I only have one tire going down this road.
Wow.
On one side. I was like, not doing that again. A lesson learned. I ain't doing it. I'll go the long way.
That's why they put four on each side. You just need one.
Right.
Three.
I want all four. That's just me.
Yeah. So after that, you know, I never saw no more black dogs, and you know, I never did nothing dumb going into the sand pit anymore. But, you know, hey, I guess you got to learn somehow.
Yeah. You do. It's all about the lessons, you know.
It's on the job training.
Yes, it is. Every day.
Oh, yeah.
Every day.
And I, you know, when we run straps on flatbeds, you know, some people are like, oh, you don't need but two. Yeah, but hey, there's a certain amount of weight, you know, per strap. So each strap is like 5,400 pounds per strap working load. So if you got something on the trailer, you just take however much it weighs, divide it by the 5,400, and that'll tell you at least the minimum number of straps you need. But, you know, I run three on each stack of mats that we usually haul. Mm-hmm. Some people only run two, But we haul these other ones that have like metal down the side. They're for going in swamps and stuff.
Okay.
And I had a, you know, had a load on there, which they're 40 foot long. We haul, and they're about 8 inches thick and like 2 foot wide. And we haul 8 of those, you know, so we put 4 down on the trailer, then you put boards on top of those for it and 4 more on top of them. So on the bottom two, I'll run 2 straps, 1 on the back, 1 on the front, just to kind of keep them in place. And then I run 10 straps on top of those. And I know that's, you know, plenty of straps.
Right.
But I had this, I was only doing 35 mile an hour and this deer ran out in front of me. So I, you know, I kind of hit the brakes kind of hard. Well, I broke, you know, 2 straps and then, you know, fractured 2, like 1 or 2 more. And then some of the other ones, they were so tight, we had to cut them to get them off the trailer anyway. So I had to replace probably about 8 straps out of 12. And that was only doing 35 mile an hour. And when I tighten stuff down, I mean, I tighten them down. I don't just, oh, it's tight enough. No, I tighten them as pretty much tight as I can get them without doing damage to me or breaking the strap.
Right. You know, I'd rather, I'm sure you feel this way. I mean, I would rather have more than what I need than not have enough when something like that happens, you know, because that's that's disaster.
I've seen guys haul the same load, you know, 5 straps on 40 foot of stuff that weighs, you know, almost 40,000 pounds on the trailer. You know, that's a lot of weight.
Yep.
And actually, I think they weigh 47,000, to tell you the truth. when you put 8 of them on there, I'm just like, that's not enough, you know?
Yep.
And then, you know, depending on the trailer, there's different types of flatbeds. Ours is a spread axle, but some of them, you know, got rails for the straps supposed to go up under it, up through the rail, and then come through the other side and go through that rail and clip under the trailer.
Right.
And that's how you're supposed to strap, you know, legally. But some trailers, you know, they don't have that capability. So you got to do what you got to do then. But, you know, a lot of people, like, they just throw them over top of the rails. You know, the rail's there to protect in case you brush up against something that, you know, it don't grab the strap and pull the load off or break the strap, you know, when you brush up against it. So the rub rail, you know, it just rubs against that rail.
Mm-hmm.
So your straps are protected on the other side. But I try to do everything the way it's supposed to be done. Because, you know, what takes more than, you know, a couple extra minutes to do it the right way versus doing it the wrong way because you save 5 minutes.
Yep. And if something happens, was that 5 minutes saved worth it?
Right.
You know, that's always the thing, you know, in this type of industry, you know, everything really does rely on safety first. And I, you know, five extra minutes to me is 5 extra minutes and that's fine. You know, I would rather spend the extra time than take that gamble because, you know, hey, that might be the time that something like, you know, deer runs out in front of you or whatever, you know, and, you know, then you're in a world of hurt. It's just not a good thing. So safety first all the time.
Yep. And that's pretty much kind of what I had a brother that lived in Florida that, you know, he was trying to teach somebody how to run a skid steer. And, you know, that not taking extra time kind of what killed him because, you know, he was just telling somebody how to run it. And he was right there underneath it doing something with the tree or whatever and ended up crushing him because, you know, he's in a rush.
Wow.
So, you know, I think back to that, you know, hey, just take my time, do it the right way the first time. Yeah. It gets there when it gets there.
Yep. Because unfortunately, that's the tragedy that's the tragic things that can happen, you know?
Yep.
I know that's a worst case scenario, but you've always got to think of worst case scenario because, you know, if it doesn't happen, fantastic. Nothing happened and everything was safe and you were still safe to go. If something does happen, you've got everything, at least you've done everything you can do, you know? So that was your brother was that your brother that died? That was your brother that got killed?
Yeah, my brother.
Wow, that's tragic.
He didn't do no trucking, buddy. Mm-hmm. He owned a tree business and, you know, he had some, you know, not real big equipment, but big equipment big enough to kill you.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And when you don't think stuff all the way through and you gotta rush it to get stuff done, that 5 seconds or whatever that took to do it the right way, you know, could end up costing in the long run.
Yeah. Right. Boy, that is the truth. Boy, I'm really sorry to hear that, man. That is just a shame.
That was 2007.
Wow.
I was real young then.
Yeah.
I still remember.
Yeah, that's how old was he? If I can,
he was older than me. He was probably in his late 30s.
Okay,
when that happened.
Yeah, that's just such a shame. That really is. Wow. But so how long is this something that you're gonna do for the rest of your life? If all things being equal, is this like the type of driving that you want to do as you age in the industry and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, hopefully in 4 years, plan on getting one of them tiny houses and selling the house I have now.
Yeah,
and just have a piece of land somewhere that, you know, West Virginia, where it's cheap.
Yeah,
I mean, my wife's from West Virginia anyway.
Okay,
so I kind of want to just sell the house. Hopefully, have enough money to buy a tiny house and a piece of land, and just get a job doing flatbed where she can ride with me all the time, because that's what I really want, where she can just be with me.
Oh, that's
what
cool.
She wants to do, is just ride with me.
Right. Oh, that's really
cool. She's ridden with me a couple of times on the job I got now, but, you know, we drive day cabs, but, you know, I might be out of town in a day cab, so we, you know, take the day cab to a hotel.
Right.
So, I mean, every now and then I'm out of town, which, you know, it's fine. It is what it is. But, you know, just a job where I can do flatbed, where she can ride with me. That's what I really like, but got to wait until the Jeep's paid off or we can do nothing like that.
Yeah. That's really neat. It's interesting that she would like to do that with you. I think that's really cool. You know, that's a neat thing. It's not something that you see a lot of. I mean, you see some of it. You know, like there's a husband and a wife that we've had on the show before, Jamie and Johnson. They're both drivers and they team together. But, you know, just being able to be around your spouse like that while you're doing your job, I think it's really cool. I think it's a cool idea. I like that. It's neat.
Yeah.
And it's cool that she wants to spend that much time with you, you know?
Yeah, we enjoy being with each other, you know? You know, I'm not one of the people that are like, oh, I just can't stand being around my wife. Then why are you married, you
right.
know? I love being around my wife.
There you know? You go. You know, of all the people in the world that I want to be around, I'd rather be around her than anybody else. So, you know, I know how you feel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I feel it.
Yeah. It's just, you know, that's really kind of cool. I think that's really neat.
Yeah, that's hopefully, you know, that'll be the future.
Yeah, I think that, and you know, to just get yourself a small house, you know, one of those, are you talking about one of those, what do they call, miniature homes or something like that? Or, you know, a tiny house, that's what they're called, tiny house. And
we're actually going to, you know, our anniversary is in May, so we're taking a trip down to Gatlinburg.
Okay.
There's a tiny house manufacturer down there that it's only like an hour away from there, so we're gonna check them out when we go down there just to look at them. But they're built on a trailer frame, and they got all different sizes, but the ones I'm looking at, like 8x24.
Okay.
You know, it's got everything you need in it. You know, it ain't no mansion, but, you know, hey, my goal is to have no bills and have everything paid for, other than, you know, your regular insurance and taxes and stuff.
Right.
What? Wait. What? You want to have everything bought and paid for?
In today's world?
Today's kind of world? Come on, man.
Wait, you know, you just rent it from the government anyway.
That's exactly it. No matter what it is, that's all you're doing.
Good for you.
We're just renting our land.
Yep. That's it.
That's it. Yeah, they keep raising the rent in the land.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, my favorite two shows that y'all had before was at the Time Slip in Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
And then, what was her name? The tow truck lady?
Oh, Susan. Jack, the producer, he's actually trying. He said to me, he and I were talking this past week. He said he's going to see if he can get a hold of Susan and see if we can get her back on the show.
Yeah, I never laughed so much. I mean, that was good.
Well, that's what I had, because Chipper's just sitting here looking at me like she's dead.
Is that
what you said? And that's what I said to Jack. I said, I don't know, because when we talked to her a few years ago, last time we talked to her, she had cancer.
Yeah.
And that's why I said to him, when he and I were talking about it this week, I said, I don't know if she's going to be available. You know, like I didn't know how things had progressed. I don't know. So
she must really have good 5G, I think.
Either that or You know, but I'm hoping that she's not dead. But, you know,
I think maybe she did pass.
Yeah, maybe she did. You know, she may have. And we'll have to, you know, but that's why I said to Jack, we'll find out.
We have to do some show homework now.
Yeah. Well, that's what I told Jack when he brought her up to me. I was like, yeah, I said, just, you know, keep in mind that, you know, she had cancer back then and she may not be available now. So. But, you know, those are some of my favorites is, you know, I loved having conversations with Susan. She was such a nice person and she had so many friggin' stories. She was just friggin' hilarious. Yeah. I mean, she was just fun to talk to. So, yeah, those are the kind of things that I look at and I'm like, yeah, you know, people you want to revisit, you know, you'd love to talk to them again. And I'm hoping that she's I hope she's available.
That story. That stuff just fascinates me. All time slip stories and stuff like that. I'm just like, that's crazy.
You know, the sad part about it is when we go, we have a terminal out by there.
Yeah.
And I go through there and I'm like, this might have been,
right.
You know,
is
where
this the exit. Yeah.
It is, you know, going through the industrial park now because everything's changed out there.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it gives you that eerie little feeling.
It does. I thought the same thing when I went out that way.
Yeah. If anything other than Black Dog ever happened to me, I'd like that. That'd be cool, you know.
Bit. It's such an interesting story, and then you know to leave and come back, and there's nothing there. It's like what you saw is now closed down, and there's nothing. It's empty.
Yeah, run down.
Like it's just been setting for you know a long time, like for years. And it's like how in the world did that happen? You know. So yeah, I mean, you know, this world is full of crazy things. You know, it's just the way it is, and you know, weird things happen, and you know, I try and take people at face value, and you say this happened, and I'm not gonna have an opinion other than that. You know, I'm not into doubting people. I think you know people deserve that at least for me to have a sense of I'll believe you. You know, I do, and that's how I look at those things.
Yeah. I mean, since I'm. That's about all stories I got, you know. Of course, I'm not that old, 28.
You got a lot of time.
More to come.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be plenty more.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, you ever want to come back on, you know, things change and you start doing, you know, you start doing what your plan is there and you're running with your wife and that kind of stuff and she's coming with you when, you know, and you ever want to come back on and talk and have other, you know, that's the beautiful thing about this job. What we do is that, you know, okay, these are my stories today, and tomorrow something else will happen, and you know I'll have it starts to build again, and you wind up with a bunch of stories. It's just that's the beauty of the industry, you know. There's always somebody out there to talk to, and you're always there's always new things happening, you know. Something else is happening to you, and your experiences are growing. So I think it's really cool that you have you know that you want to do this with your wife. I think that's really cool. You know, you're going to drive, and she's going to ride along. I think that's a cool plan. I hope all the best for you, man. I really do. And, you know, you said your anniversary is coming up in May. Mine, my wife and mine is May 21st. Ours is coming up and we'll be married 35 years this year. It's like forever. And the kids are all grown up and out of the house. You know?
Yeah. May 5th is mine.
There you go.
Have a good tomorrow.
Nice. Look at that. You even got a holiday on your anniversary.
I think that was planned.
Never forget.
That is exactly right. Well, this has been really a lot of fun there, Elliot. We really appreciate you coming on and sharing your stories with us. It really has been a blast, and I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed the show, and if they enjoyed the show, Shipper, what can they do?
They can share the show. Share it with everybody they know, anybody they don't know. Anybody that'll listen,
post it on your Facebook page. Yep. Put it wherever you can put it.
The Twitter feed, whatever. Yes, all the social media platforms. Just get the word out there. We're out there. Yeah. We'd like to hear your story. So,
yes, sir.
You know, you listen to this show. You have a story. Contact the show. We'll be glad to get you on.
We certainly would. We certainly would. Well, with all that being said, Chip. You want to take us out?
Yep. Keep the hammer down in the hammer lane. Have a good night.
See you next
time. Take care.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.